Now, one thing that got cut off, I apologize, on the top in the photocopying, is that we're looking at Pirkei Avos, Perek Gimel, Mishnah Yud Gimel, so that you could fill in on the top if it didn't come out. And from there, we're going to fast forward in the same Perek to Mishnah Chaf Beis, because both Yud Beis and Chaf Beis really address a similar question. Now, just in general, what's going on here is this something called chachma, which is the Torah, the knowledge that someone has, and the other is masa, which is the actions, the good deeds, and the mitzvahs. And the whole issue here is going to revolve around the ratio between the two. So, for example, Hu Haya Omer, one of the statements of Chazal was that kol shem masav meruv mechachmaso, if his actions supersede beyond his chachma, is that's very good. And that's called chachmaso miskayemis. His chachma is guaranteed long life. He won't forget what he knows. We'll have to figure out why. Or we have a seat for you here and a page here, wherever you feel comfortable. And then, if on the flip side, he's got a gigantic amount of knowledge stored up, but his actions are very limited, is ein chachmaso miskayemis. We will not see long-lasting, long shelf life for his chachma, for his wisdom. Again, we still don't know why. And what we really want to study tonight is Rabbeinu Yonah. I'll explain as we go along. Now, another statement, which is a little bit of a different formulation, but the same idea with an embellishment, in Mishnah Chaf Beis of Perek Gimel, is kol shechachmaso meruba mimasov lemahu domeh, if someone who has a greater storehouse of knowledge than he has actions to show for himself, lemahu domeh, to what could he be compared? Le'ilan, to a tree, sha'anafav merubim, it has many, many branches, but sharoshav, its roots, are muatim, are very limited. Now, if you have a very limited root, and you could have gigantic foliage, but haruach ba'a, when the wind comes, okarto, it literally uproots the tree, because the roots are very weak and very limited, Vofachto alponav, and it turns the tree upside down. And to demonstrate this, the Mishnah quotes a pasuk. All right, for now, we don't want to get sidetracked here, so we're going to leave out the pasuk. And we want to contrast this with the second case, avakol shem masav meruvim mechachmaso. But if his actions are much more far-reaching than his wisdom, so his actions in this case exceed beyond his wisdom. Lamahu Damakut, to what can we compare him? Le'ilan Shanofav Mu'atim, even though his branches are very limited, but Sharashav Merubin, but the roots of this tree are very deep, very profound, very manifold. And therefore Shafilu Kalarucho Shaba'olam, Bo's Venoshvos, Bo, even if all the winds of the world come and blow, and you would think that with all those strong winds, the Elon is for sure going to be toppled over, the tree can't stand up. No. Ein mezizin osomim komo. The tree is so grounded, its roots are so deep below the ground that the winds can't topple it over. And once again, the Mishnah quotes a pasuk, which again, if we get a chance later on, we'll go through the psukim, but that's less important to us. So what we want to do is study the super commentary in the Rishonim period on Avos, and that's Rabbeinu Yonah. As I mentioned last time, there are very few Rishonim who dedicate themselves to explain this Masechta, as opposed to other Masechtas. In the Achronim, when it comes to the later commentaries, like after the 5th century and on, then, did I say the 5th century? I meant to say the 15th century. After the 15th century and on, then it's just endless. It's like no giant ever omitted writing a commentary on Avos. But in the Rishonim, we're really dependent upon Rabbeinu Yonah. Does anybody, by the way, know where Rabbeinu Yonah lived? over 1,000 years ago? In Spain.
Gerundi,
right. Rabbeinu Yonah lived in Girona, which is right outside of Barcelona. There were some great Rishonim that lived in Barcelona, amongst them the Rashba, and before the Rashba, the Ramban. And Rabbeinu Yonah was just the next town over. You can visit it today, and you could actually walk on the cobblestones that Rabbeinu Yonah walked on. At least that's what the tourist companies tell you after you pay your bill. But I think it's really authentic. I mean, you can see it's a very old ghetto, Jewish area. And Rabbeinu Yonah tries to interpret this Mishnah that we've been studying. What does it mean? What's the significance of the fact that Masav Merubim Michachmaso? What does that mean? He says, Shebizman Shemasav Shal Adam Merubim Michachmaso Nimteis Tavaso Lechachma Gidola Michachmaso. In other words, he realizes that he has a great deal of knowledge to acquire. And he has a tremendous desire to acquire the knowledge, to expand his knowledge. He realizes that he's involved in so many different things, but his knowledge is limited. And that motivates him to want to study more and more. Some of the people that I know that are very, very motivated to study, it's because they realize that their knowledge, their storehouse of knowledge is so limited, they're almost embarrassed by it. And that's what moves them. Someone who thinks, wow, I've got plenty of chachma, I've achieved, I've learned, I've studied, gives you a long list of all the books he read, and all the, he's got the Phi Beta Kappas, he's got all the degrees, dangling from. So he's not motivated so much he doesn't have that thirst for chachma. The thirst for knowledge is a result of the fact that a person realizes that he's missing knowledge. Nimtza, and therefore as a result, kibachol yom v'yom, mosif chachma chachmaso. This thirst, this craving for knowledge is going to translate itself into an expansion of knowledge. So we have great hope for the future. And it's paradoxical. Dafka, as a result of the fact that his chachma is limited, we have more of a prognosis that his chachma will increase because he's simply craving for more knowledge. Now we get to the flip case. V'chol shechachmaso merubo mimaso, if he has a great deal of knowledge stored up, in terms of actions, he's not so impressive. His ein chachmaso miskayemes, he's not going to have a long shelf life of chachma, as we said before. Why? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, because nimtzeis ta'avaso lechachma p'chusa michachmaso. His desire for knowledge, to acquire more and more knowledge, is on a low ebb. And why is that so? Because he thinks, well, I've accomplished so much, I've studied so much, I don't have to I'm not motivated, I don't have to push myself. You might ask the question, but so what if he doesn't have a great deal of desire, motivation to acquire more knowledge, but he already has achieved a storehouse of knowledge? Isn't that good enough? Says Rabbeinu Yonah, there's no such thing as stagnation. Either you move forward or you move backward. If he's not motivated to try to achieve more knowledge and study more Torah, then the Torah that he's accomplished until now will begin to decrease. And Rabbeinu Yonah says that he heard this commentary, this insight, in the name of other earlier giants. He doesn't tell you, unfortunately, who they are, but Kach Pirshu HaRishonim Zal. But Yesh Lishol, he says, I don't understand, what exactly is the scenario, is the reality that the Mishnah is talking about, is addressing? Eich Efshal Lios, how could it be that you have a situation that's called Mas of Merubim Michachmaso, that his actions are more, shall we say, expansive, more manifold than his knowledge? In any Odea Torah, if his knowledge is so limited, Va Mitzvos, and he doesn't know anything about the Mitzvos, is what's he going to do? V'chiyeshlo lasos ha'maisim ha'elu alma asam. When he implements these actions, on what basis is he implementing them? He doesn't have the knowledge that would allow him to facilitate his ability to. In other words, we're praising in this Mishnah the the mass of Merubim. What do you mean mass of Merubim? You're telling me that his actions are even greater, are even more manifold than his chachma and his wisdom? If his wisdom is limited, what kinds of actions is he what is he achieving? He doesn't know. Ella shezu ha-mishna dibra lefi eitz tov na umekubeles. This Mishnah is trying to present a very wise and solid piece of counsel, of advice. Sheyeshlo lemish eni yodea, and it's addressing a person that has limited knowledge. Shelo ya'abed nafsho, he shouldn't lose his spiritual status or his spiritual purity, but rather sheyekabel al atzmo, he should accept upon himself. Lasos kol advarim, he'll implement all the actions, asher yagidu lo hachachamim, which the scholars, the wise people, will tell him to implement. Lo yosim mehem yaminu smol, he doesn't deviate from them, nor to the right or to the left, kasher yadam, and ultimately he will know them. Right now he's just following orders, so to speak. You know, he's opening up the shulchan aruch, the codes, and he's getting directives as to what to do. He says he has accepted upon himself that whatever knowledge he has, he will try to implement that knowledge. It's not just theoretical, but he will try to fulfill those mitzvos masios. And right now he's willing to say, I don't know that much, but whatever they tell me to do, and whatever advice and mandates they impose upon me, that's what I'll do. And miyad, immediately, shekabola zuyi kabol atzmo, as soon as he accepted this upon himself, belev of shalom benefesh chafetza, with a true heart, and it, with total sincerity and dedication. And here's the punchline, if you're following me in the text, males char, he deserves to be rewarded, ki'ilu kibel olav kol mitzvahs. Now, wait a second. He doesn't know the mitzvahs. He hasn't been taught. He's ignorant. But he accepts upon himself that whatever he learns and whatever he is told and enlightened by the chachamim, by the scholars, he will implement. So he doesn't really know. In other words, sometimes you accept upon yourself a commitment, you know exactly what you're getting into. Like, for example, if you pay a good lawyer for a contract, you know, in contract law, the lawyer will tell you, he reads the fine print, exactly what you're getting into. What are your commitments? What are the benefits? What are the deficits? And so forth and so on. Here, we're talking about a Jew whose knowledge is so limited, unfortunately, for whatever reason, we're not blaming him, that how could you say he accepted upon himself to do all the mitzvahs? He doesn't even know what those mitzvahs are. Out of 613, maybe he knows 50. I don't know. Just throwing out a number. So this is a gigantic revolution here that Rabbi Yonah is presenting, that once a person accepts upon himself a commitment for all mitzvahs that they teach him, it's as if he accepted upon himself all the mitzvahs, even though he doesn't know what's the content and the substance of that kavol, of that acceptance. While derech zu amru, now we can come back to our Mishnah and explain that kol shemas of merubim michachmaso. How could you have Masa Merubim? He knows only so much and he's doing all these mitzvahs, all these actions. The answer is, ki af, despite the fact, shemishen yodea, if a person doesn't know, his chachma, as we said before, is very limited, v'yeno oseh, and therefore he's not able to implement the knowledge that he has because he has no knowledge, nikroy maisal shem, we still consider it as if he did these maisim, ki yeshlo schar aleim, he will be rewarded for them, ki ilu asa'am, as if he had implemented these mitzvos, mi piya kabbalah, based on what he received. So there's an amazing concept, again, just to summarize, because I love to think about this idea. A person has not yet implemented mitzvos. He doesn't know enough to do so. His chachma is limited. How do we get then to Maisa Merubim if he doesn't know? And the answer is that he has a sincere, absolute commitment to accept upon himself all the mitzvahs as soon as he learns about them. And therefore, even before he knows about the mitzvahs, He's still in the dark. He hasn't been enlightened yet. It's as if he has all those mitzvahs. And therefore, Masav Merubim Michachmaso. Again, that's the paradox. How could it be Masav Merubim Michachmaso? The Masim could only correspond to the knowledge that he has. If he doesn't have that knowledge, how could he possibly implement the mitzvah? And the answer is there's a new Allah over here. And that's Kabbalah. Kabbalah means I accept upon myself in a very sincere way. I commit myself to fulfill all the mitzvahs. Even though my chachmah will only produce 50 mitzvahs, I want to do 613. And that Kabbalah is translated by the Ribbono Shelom with his Midav Chesed to Maisav Merubim, as if he had actually fulfilled all those Maisim. And now he quotes, the Brisa that was left out of the Mishnah in Ovos is called Ovos de Rabbi Nosson, because one of the Tanoim Rabbi Nosson gathered together these Mishnahs they're called Brisos. And Kol Shemaisa Merubim Chachmasa Chachmasa Miskayim Shenemar Nase V'Nishma. Now watch what happens over here. When the people accepted the Torah, our ancestors, instead of saying Nishma, let's first hear what the mitzvahs are and study them, and then Nase, and then we'll implement them, they first had a commitment of Nase, to do the mitzvahs and implement them. And then V'Nishma, and later on, in the second stage, they'll hear about the mitzvahs, but obviously, the question is, how could they implement the mitzvah? They didn't hear about it. And the answer is, Shekdimu Yisrael Asiya L'Shmiya. What does it mean that the Asiya came before the Shmiya? If there's no Shmiya, they didn't hear the Torah, and they don't know the mandates of the Torah, how could they have possibly implemented Asiya? So he says the following. He says, Hoylem Lomar. Yeah, so L'Chora, they should have said, Nishma, let's first hear the mitzvahs, and then Nasa. The word Ella here indicates the answer to this paradox. First and foremost, they accept upon themselves to implement all the mitzvahs, whatever will be commanded and mandated. And then v'yishmu, and then they'll learn about the mitzvahs. Umiyad, but immediately, kiblu schar ki'ilu asam. They received the reward for actions that they haven't yet done, for mitzvahs they haven't accomplished. How could that be? How can you give a person a reward for something that he hasn't done? And the answer is because he accepted upon himself with a very sincere Kabbalah. And we know that if he had only known these mitzvahs, if he had only been taught them, you can rely on him that he definitely would have implemented the mitzvahs. So it's an amazing concept because we live in the dimensions of time and there's past, present, and future. That's all we know. We don't know how to, take the past and put in the future, take the future and put in the past. We can't live. We live in those three time dimensions as they pass by. Here's a concept where a person lives at time X in which, because of his ignorance, it's impossible for him to implement the masim. Later on, at time Y, he's going to know about these mitzvahs and fulfill them. And he's going to get rewarded from time X, when he didn't implement the mitzvahs because he didn't know about them. That's the unbelievable paradox. This is like the science of Judaism. And there's a different set of scientific rules. Because he made the commitment at time T1, the Torah considers it already at time T1 as if he fulfilled the mitzvahs when he finds out about them, which is going to be at time T2, and that's when he's going to implement the mitzvahs, at time T1. He's already fulfilled the mitzvahs and he'll be rewarded from the get-go. And why? Because he accepted upon himself to do the mitzvahs as soon as he finds out about it. So if you think about it on a certain practical level, a person's in a bind. They desperately want to have merits, they want to do mitzvahs, they want to be rewarded for mitzvahs, but they're in a brach, as we say. They're between a rock and a hard place. They simply don't know the mitzvahs. Now, to study all the mitzvahs takes years. It's not something that you can do overnight. You know, if a farmer wants to grow a cedar tree, you know, he's got to take a decade until he can finally grow it. You know, he's got to plant it. And now what we're saying is that even though it's going to take you a decade until you learn about all the mitzvahs, you're already going to get rewarded from the beginning of that 10-year period as if you had already implemented it. Because in the divine calculation, the future is now. That's not the way human beings operate. We live in the now and not in the future. But Hashem combines all time dimensions, and therefore the now is tomorrow. The tomorrow is now. And what that means is that a man is rewarded for something that he hasn't even done yet. And why? Because he wants to do it. He's committed to do it. He cannot do it because he doesn't know. And he's going to be rewarded. I was thinking, what would be if a person accepted upon himself all the mitzvahs with a total, you know, a sincere commitment, and then he died? Heaven forbid, he died. He didn't live to the day where he would learn about the mitzvahs and fulfill them. He couldn't. Perhaps, since the principle is that he's going to be rewarded for the mitzvahs of it as if he did them from the moment he accepted upon himself to do them, then I don't even have to wait until he implements the mitzvah. So before I was telling you it works lamafreya, it works retroactively. You know, after he finds out and he learns about the mitzvahs and then he implements them, then retroactively he'll get schar, even before he did the mitzvah. No. Maybe you don't even have to, maybe you can go in the light of this from any other, I'm tempted to go even further than that. Even if he never gets to, it never comes to fruition, and he never gets practically lives to the opportunity to fulfill those mitzvahs, he'll get rewarded for them. Imagine a man, Rachmanu Litzlan, on his deathbed. The man is 90 years old. He's about to leave this world. He was never taught, he never knew, he lived out there, I don't know where, but as far as religious communities are concerned, he was out in the desert. He never studied. How could I even dream that he'll be rewarded on his deathbed, the last moment of his breathing life, for all the mitzvahs? And you know, they say that there's no such thing as an atheist in a foxhole. So if you have... You know, my father had a very good friend, Rabbi Bezdin Ovshalom. He was a chaplain in the U.S. Army in World War II. And he met with many American soldiers that were hit pretty badly, you can imagine. And imagine that you can guarantee a person who's never fulfilled the mitzvahs a reward for all the mitzvahs if only he'll accept upon himself the mitzvahs on this in his last breathing moments, last moments on this earth. That's an amazing thing. As a general rule, the way we are brought up, we believe that God bestows rewards upon people who have fulfilled the mitzvah. We have a principle called Onus Kirman Di'ovid Lo Amrinan. Even if a person was prevented from doing a mitzvah by circumstances beyond his control, it's not as if he did the mitzvah, he didn't do the mitzvah. Yeah, he'll get rewarded for a good, you know, for a good machshava, for a good planning or a scheming. You know, he was prepared to do this. But now we're saying no. He's saying, ke'ilu kvar asa'om. That's the language of Rabbeinu Yonah. Then we get to the end of this Rabbeinu Yonah, and I want to embellish this with Rabbeinu Yonah in another work that he wrote. V'chol shechachmaso meruba mimasov, if his chachma is that much greater than his masim, then ein chachmaso miskayemes. His chachma will not be long-lasting. Shlo yomar eshna halacha zu ve'aykaimena, eshna kol ha-talmud ve'aykaimena. A person says, you know what? I'll study these halachos and then I'll implement them. I will study the entire Talmud, all of Shas, and then I will fulfill the mitzvos in the Shas. In Koyomar, if that's what he's saying, his chokhmah is greater than his masim, meaning he's waiting for the masim to catch up with his chokhmah. When his chokhmah arrives at its great stage of knowledge, then he'll implement the mitzvahs. Is lotis kaim chachmaso ki tzarch tikun hamidos tchila v'achakach tiskaim chachmaso. In other words, when you need to preserve something, right, there are certain chemicals that you put into foods to preserve them, you need to preserve your merits, your mitzvos. And Rabbi Yonah says that there's a precondition to this whole process, and that is tikkun amidos. You have to work on yourself. You know, it's very difficult to change oneself, you know, to analyze his attributes and come to the conclusion, hey, I have to improve them, and then to improve them. Says Rabbi Yonah, if you're going to say the following, I'll wait till I learn the mitzvahs and then I'll fulfill them, then you know what? You'll never get to that stage where you'll acquire all the knowledge that's necessary to implement the mitzvahs. Why? Because the precondition to gaining that knowledge is tikkun amidos. Now let's try to figure out what he means by tikkun amidos. We think of chachma, of knowledge, as intellectual. If the human brain can process information, then that's it. We have assimilated the knowledge and it's ours. From Rabbi Yonah's point of view, there's a different quality of chachma, of knowledge, that works and operates with its own regulations and its own laws. And that's the chachma of Hashem, of divine wisdom. Divine wisdom is not like any other intellectual knowledge. You give me a mathematical text, and if I can master it, I know it. I can be what we call in Yiddish, I don't know if any of you know Yiddish, an oisvarf. How would you say that in English? An oisvarf is someone who's over the, you know, he's past all the red lights. He's just a no goodnik. You know, he's the lowest of the low. So I don't care about the ethical stature of a person when he studies mathematics or any other secular discipline. He can become the greatest genius, and yet, morally speaking, he's low. I mean, we know this from Germany. We know this from many, many examples. I mean, there are rumors, I don't know if they're true, about Aristotle. I don't know what kind of life he lived. So the ethics of a person's personal life might have nothing to do with his knowledge. But the knowledge of Torah is not just pure intellectual, but it's connected to the ethical knowledge and to the ethical makeup of a person. That ethical makeup or perfection is called tikkun amidos, to literally fix up your attributes, your behavior patterns. And that is a precondition for chachma, for knowledge, and for a knowledge of the spiritual nature that will be permanent knowledge. So what's the problem with this individual? Chachmaso meruba mimasov. He's not willing to say, quote unquote, I'm going to implement all the mitzvahs even before I learn about them. That commitment he doesn't want to make. His midos tell him that unless he understands, unless he knows, he doesn't want to do the mitzvahs. Now again, obviously, my friends, the ideal situation is to fulfill a mitzvah because you've learned about the mitzvah, you know about the mitzvah. Those are the most meaningful mitzvahs. But to make a statement that I won't do mitzvahs until I learn about them, or in his language, Eshne halacha zu ve'ai kaimena, I'm only going to implement them after I learn through the halacha and I know it and I have insights into it. In Koyomar, he's got a problem. He needs tikkun amidos. He's got to straighten himself out on a moral level. Because ethically, what he's saying is that I don't have any absolute commitment to the mitzvahs. When I understand the mitzvahs, then I'll implement them. How many Jews do you know that will tell you, this mitzvah I can't do? Because it doesn't make any sense to me. Imagine we're going to have a mitzvah, Mirza Shem, of Mechias Amolek. The Torah wants to destroy Amolek. Completely destroy Amalek. How can we do such a thing when it's so antithetical to our emotional or mental makeup? and our ethical, so-called ethical rules and principles by which we live. What we're saying here is, make an absolute commitment to the Torah. Don't tell me I want to understand the Torah first. No. Even without understanding the Torah, you're an obedient servant and you're dedicated and committed to fulfill the mitzvahs of Torah. Okay. We'll come back to this again as we see Rabbi Yonah on the left side of your page in Shari Tshuva. Now, the concept of Masov Merubah Michachmaso means that he's motivated by his fear of God to commit himself to do the mitzvahs even before he understands them. In the language of Rav Chanina ben Dosa, he says, Yirascheto kodemes lechachmaso, meaning even before he understands, before he's acquired the knowledge, he's already a Yirei Shamayim. He's already a God-fearing Jew. And that's a high level. And as a result, Chachmaso miskayenes. Because again, his Chachma is part and parcel, it's integrated in a greater whole of an ethical, God-fearing Jew. Reishis Chachma Yiras Hashem. The introduction says Davar Amel to Chachma, to wisdom, is the fear of Hashem. And therefore, Kol Shamasov, Merubi Michachmaso, is Chachmaso Miskayem Shenemar Nasa V'Nishma. Just as we saw in Rabbi Yonah, that Nasa V'Nishma means I'm committed to Asiya even before I hear about the mitzvahs, even before I learn the mitzvahs, so too, a person who has Yira first, before his Chachma, then his Chachma will be meaningful. Because as I said to you before, Chachma is not just intellectual abstract knowledge, like knowledge of the sciences. Chachma is a spiritual / ethical concept. And if he has that Yira, he starts with Tikkun Amidos, as we discussed in Rabbeinu Yonah, then from that Yira, he has a shot at real, genuine Chachma, Chachma that will become a permanent fixture in his heart and in his soul. And of course, at the end of Parshas Mishpatim, we have the commitment of Klal Yisrael, Kol Asher Dibra Hashem, Naaseh V'Nishma. Now let's fast forward to another work of the same author, Rabbeinu Yonah, Shari Tshuva, and he writes, HaDerech HaShlishis, there are different ways of coming to achieve all the goals and the accomplishments that a Jew is meant to achieve, to be a pure, complete Oved Hashem, to get the rewards. He says, Kasher yishma musar hachachom v'amochichim, yakshi v'yishma v'ikona v'yachzor b'tshuva. When he hears the words of Musar castigating him and commanding him and inspiring him to greater levels of fulfillment of Hashem, and he listens to this tochacha, and he's eager to hear about it. He lets it sink in. Not like someone who goes to a lecture on ethics and, okay, you know, it sounds interesting, it's a lot of fun to attend, but he's as far as he can imagine away from actually implementing these ideas. But here we're talking about a Jew who listens, yikana, he accepts it, and he's chozer v'tshuva. He looks at his history and he says, this is not good. I have to rectify the sins of my past. V'yekabel b'libo kol divrei ha-tochachos. And his attitude should be that he wants to accept not just 50%, not just 90% or 99%, but 100% of all the tochachos. He won't let even one word, one iota of an idea that they preach to him go without notice. And if he ignores it, it's yigara, it's off the radar screen. No, he accepts everything. This individual, again, he's not necessarily a great scholar. He's your rank and file citizen who goes and he attends a Musa Shmuz. Is Nase Ha'ish Hazeh Berega Hazeh Katon Yotze. I'm sorry. Berega Katon, even though it takes him just a few seconds to make this absolute commitment, there's a whole transformation of personality. Yotza Me'afelo Lior Godel. He has left the darkness into the most bright and intense light. Ki Esa Sharyazin V'yaskis. Because as he listens and he becomes more wise, Ulevavo in his heart, Yavin V'shav V'yikabel B'yom Shomo Kidivre Hamochiach. All these words of Tochacha have softened him up. They've prepared his heart and his soul to accept when he hears more divrei tochacha, all the chastisement that he gets. V'yikayim olav lios oseh. Now we're up to the Kabbalah concept, right? He accepts upon himself to fulfill all these words of Musar and Tochacha. Kechol asher yorohu tovsei haTorah. Tovsei haTorah literally means those who grab on to the Torah. The scholars of the Torah will teach him, will guide him in a yom hazeh lemala. And he has accepted upon himself to fulfill all these words of the giants of Torah. Li zayer basher yaziru. He will be careful to avoid that which he has been warned to avoid. Yodei bino le'itiv. Those who know what comes in life, what challenges arise on the horizon. And he has now accepted upon himself that whatever the Matife Musa are telling him, he will implement it. He will be very careful about everything they want him to be careful about. Is therefore also v'yodo atshuva. That's what it means to fulfill the mitzvah of tshuva. Tshuva means when a person commits himself in an absolute, all-inclusive way to the mitzvahs of the Torah. That's what tshuva is all about. V'nepach l'ish acher, and it's a transformation of personality. May eis asher yikabel zos b'machshavto, from the very split second that he has accepted upon himself this commitment in his mind, the gomar olav kocha bilvavo, and he has a complete commitment in his heart to this entire system of mitzvos, is kanal inafsho schus uschar. He will receive a merit and a reward for every mitzvah that he's done, for every musa that he's given. Ashreu. How fortunate he is. Ki tzidek nafsho b'shar kala. He has justified his life in one fell swoop, in one second. And again, this is Rabbeinu Yonah l'shitaso. He's very consistent, Rabbeinu Yonah. He's putting all the emphasis on Kabbalah, that moment of commitment, and me'eis, and from that moment of the Kabbalah. He has transformed himself through tshuva from the moment he accepted upon himself to do these mitzvahs, and therefore there's no need to question this man's status. He's going into here the musar because he wants to commit himself to fulfill that musar. In such a case, kano l'nafsho zchus uschar al kol mitzvah samusarim. It's unbelievable. He's already receiving sachar, reward, for the mitzvos and the divrei musar, even before he's implemented them. Simply because he was gomer b'libo. Because he has that deep, profound commitment. V'chein amru zechrono levrach. Now Rabbi Yonah presented this revolution, this unbelievably new yesod, that's like changes everything we know. Where does he get it from? I mean, it's a nice pshat in our Mishnah of Maisa of Meruba Michachmaso, right? How can it be that his Maisa are greater than his Chachma? The answer is because he accepted upon himself to fulfill all those Maisa. But says Rabbeinu Yonah, I have another source for it. The Pasuk says, Vayelchu Vayasu Bnei Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded them to bring the Korban Pesach. And the Pasuk testifies to the fact that they had fulfilled the will of God and they brought the Korban Pesach immediately. So the Mechilta asks the following question, V'chimiyad Asu, is it possible to postulate that immediately after they got the command, they implemented it? Halo lo Asu ad arbas halachodesh. The command came on the 10th of Nisan, not on the 14th of Nisan. Once a person accepts upon himself with full sincerity to be dedicated to the mitzvahs, then it's as if he did all the mitzvahs. And this is going to explain to us what does it mean when it says Vayelchu Vayasu Bnei Yisrael. It's unbelievable. And, you know, when I first learned these two Rabbinios, I was thinking to myself, maybe this is all a hyperbole. You know, maybe it's just an exaggeration. To say that a person will be rewarded by virtue of his Kabbalah's commitment, and not only that, immediately after his commitment, he should be rewarded for Maisim and Mitzvahs that he hasn't done yet, maybe he'll never even do them. I thought that he was being just very dramatic about it, Rabbi Yonah. You know, when a darshan gets up and he wants to inspire people, he sometimes adds a little, you know, a little extra push, a little extra fluff, if you know what I mean. And maybe he doesn't mean this. But when I see that Rabbi Yonah A uses this yisod to explain our Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, number two, I see that Rabbi Yonah says it not just once, but repeats it. So he's willing to interpret a Mishnah based on this Yisod. He's willing to repeat this again. He's willing even to quote a Mechilta as his source of Maila Lav HaKosuv Ki'ilu Aso Miyad.
Go ahead. We find this often, I think, this kind of statement, Maila Alav Ki'ilu. So I'm wondering if we could stress that Ki'ilu, that it's like he did it, but it's not exactly the same Sfar, perhaps. I'm just suggesting that maybe there's something like the Sfar, but it's not quite. Because it is difficult to say that it's just as good, because then what's, you might as well just not do it, you know? Right?
Well, again, then it's not a sincere Kabbalah. What we're saying is the litmus test here will be, well, when he finds out about it, what's he going to do? If he finds out, he learns about it, then he doesn't implement it, then he was never sincere about his Kabbalah.
That's true, too. But there's got to be something extra that the actual kiyum of the mitzvah does.
See, what I thought he was presenting is that there are two worlds out there. There's one world of halacha, and halacha operates with action. You know, what did you do? And in a Beis Din, for example, the Beis Din implementing the halacha could not punish a person for thoughts. They cannot reward a person for planning and scheming or accepting upon themselves. We work and we operate in the Olam HaMaase, but there's another world, and that's the world of Schar V'Onesh Milamala, from up on high. And here HaKadosh Baruch Hu could say about a person who never studied that if at one point in his life he reaches the apex in which he's committed and he makes a Kabbalah and he says, I'm going to do all the mitzvahs as soon as I can, but I have to learn about them first. I'm going to do it as fast as I, you know, speed up the process. In such a case, how can we say that because of circumstances beyond his control, we're going to deny him all the reward that he would have gotten if he only had, you know, like Moshe Rabbeinu says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am an Anuf. What do you mean I am an Anuf? I'm humble. What, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know who he was? He knew who he was. But the answer is, Moshe Rabbeinu was saying that anyone who would be in my position and had studied and had been taught the way I had been taught would be a Moshe Rabbeinu or even greater than a Moshe Rabbeinu. And what we're saying here is it possible that God will divvy out a reward to someone because that person had a true, genuine commitment?
But God would know if he had.
Correct. And since God knows he has, then in this world of divine reward, even though he hasn't done the action yet, he'll be rewarded. Although again, as I keep reiterating, in the world of halacha, which is a legalistic world, you've got to do the action. You know, I realize you have good intentions, you planned it out, you expected it, and so forth and so on. whatever happened at the end, you would prevent. But at the end of the day, onus kavad yomid lo. I mean, we don't say it's as if you did it. You didn't do it. We can't hold you responsible for actions that you didn't do. We can't hold you worthy of bestowing upon you gifts and rewards on actions that you planned to do, but you never did. But then there's another world out there. A world in which God knows exactly where the person is and what he's thinking, and the whole spiritual makeup. I don't know. I'm thinking of, you know, the famous Hasidic story of the shepherd boy. You know, he couldn't blow the shofar, but you know, he blew his flute and he said, "God, you put together the tones and the sounds." You know, would such a person be rewarded by God as if he did the mitzvah? You know, talk about the Holocaust, for example. I mean, there were so many Jews who would have fulfilled who knows how many endless amount of mitzvahs if they only had survived. Some of them were taken away in their as babies. The Nazis killed 1.5 million babies, or whatever the number is, but it's beyond comprehension. Is it possible, in the light of this Rabbeinu Yonah, that there's such a thing as rewarding a person for mitzvahs that he couldn't do through no fault of his own, but he would have if the circumstances were what they should have been, if the knowledge would have been there?
Well, he's talking about a case that has to be kibbul. Has to be a baby would be a different case.
Correct. I don't know if a baby has a kibbul.
Unfortunately, I don't know how right to resolve that.
But what about a person who, yeah, you know, is mature and right, is yeah, really sincerely dedicated? We could imagine what mitzvahs that person would have fulfilled. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is what Rabbeinu Yonah has in mind, but for me, you know, because I grapple with this issue all the time. I can't. I never was able to fathom the Holocaust. I mean, I can't assimilate it. I can't put it all together. You know, very hard for me personally. It's just very subjective. And this Rabbeinu Yonah, at least on a theological level, in terms of theodicy, you know, it puts things in a slightly different perspective. If there's such a thing as a Kabbalah, and he gets the schar already now, from that moment, he's ignorant. I mean, think of Kiruv, for example. I mean, if you took this idea of Rabbeinu Yonah and you were able to sell it, so to speak, you know, I don't mean that in a pejorative way, but to Jews who unfortunately never had, you know, they were not lucky to have the education, the upbringing that FFBs have, you know, people from birth, and tell them that when they get to the point, again, I'm not saying it's going to happen on the first Etzisway Shabbaton, but when they finally get to the point where they're willing to really make that leap of faith and that commitment and accept the whole Torah, that they'll already at that point get rewarded as if they had fulfilled the Torah. They didn't even learn it yet. How much do they know? You know, they say about Rav Hutna, I don't know if it's true, that he would guide Bali Tshuva in their first stages of becoming religious, and he would say to them, you know what? Don't try to take on all 613. Take on one mitzvah, whatever speaks to you. And do it well. You know, commit yourself and dedicate yourself. And Hashem will see that you would really, in theory, want to do this for all 613 mitzvahs. Fascinating idea. You know, I once heard a shiur from my Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik about Kol Nidre. What's so significant about Kol Nidre? You know, the emotions and the drama that go into Kol Nidre. And it really, again, I don't know, today I don't know, but when I was growing up, it touched on such a deep chord in every Jew. Jews who came out for Kol Nidre night, who you wouldn't see them the rest of the year. And again, you know, the cynics will tell you this and tell you that. I'm not interested. I'm telling you what's true. What's true about Kol Nidre is that really what we're saying to Hashem is that we live a certain kind of existence which is almost a mask that covers over layers and layers of the depth of a Jew that really desires, you know, to fulfill the mitzvahs, but has no real connection to the mitzvahs. You know, without education, there's no mitzvahs. And the Rav used to say that when a person wants to demonstrate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I am a Baal Tshuva, that I really want to rectify my ways and improve my ways. What he says to Hashem, you know, I may have taken on a pledge and I didn't live up to my pledge. But you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gave us within the halachic universe a power to be matir nedarim. And Rashi says in Masechta Nedarim, HaChacham Oker es ha neder mi'ikaro, which means that the neder is, the vow that he took is not binding up until the point of heter, when he goes to the Chacham, and then from then on it becomes invalid. But me'ikaro, from its very inception, either it is a nether or it's not a nether. It can't have a nether that ceases, that terminates within its time period. So we say to the Ribbono Shel Olam on the night of Yom Kippur that, look, this is really what I'd like to do with all the mistakes that I made. I wish I could somehow blot them out, but I can't. But there is one aver that I can completely undermine and negate it in totality as if I never violated it, and that's nether. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to ask for Hataras Nedarim, and I'm going to ask Hashem to accept that as a demonstration for what I wish I could do if I only had the power to do it with regard to all the other 612 mitzvahs. Let's see if we can go on a little bit. The Omar V'Ovester Avinasan Kol Shem Maisa Merumi Chachmas Chachmas Miskayem Shenemar Nasa V'Nishma. What did Rabbi Nosson mean to derive from Nasa V'Nishma, which we saw over here, number 4? And Be'er Adover, the answer is, Ki Ha'ish Asher Kibel Al Nafsho B'Lev Neman. If a person with sincere dedication accepted upon himself Lishmar V'Lasos Al Pi HaTorah, to observe and implement all the Torah, Asher Yoru, whatever they teach him, V'Al Mishpat Asher Yomru Lo, which is another way of saying more or less the same idea, Hayoshev al Mishpat, in other words, when the judges and the guides and the scholars teach him, he'll do what they say. Is Yesh biyado min hayom hazeh schar al kol hamitzvos? I don't know, Josh. Here he doesn't have that chaf hadimyon ki'ilu. I don't know. He says Yesh biyado, if you underline those words. Min hayom hazeh schar al kol hamitzvos. You know, again, Rabbi Osei, if this was a drasha that somebody gave in the Beis HaMusar, you know, in the year 2017, I would say, very nice, you know, shkarech, you know, it's very nice encouragement, but, like, who are you fooling? But this is Rabbeinu Yonah. Remind me, I want to tell you a story about Rabbeinu Yonah. He says the following, Al kol asher shama ozno midivrei Torah, vatoven lahem, he says there's certain mitzvahs that they heard about and certain mitzvahs that they didn't even hear about it yet. You know, when a convert comes for conversion, we can't teach them all the mitzvahs when they come for conversion, but we give them a good sampling, and we assume that if they're committed to those, they're committed to all the other mitzvahs. So here's a person who was taught some of the mitzvahs, and the bulk of the mitzvahs he wasn't taught. But yet, nosnim lo schar al kol mitzvahs, me'ayom, from this moment. V'tzedek lovash, v'kanes chus al haniglos, elo v'al kol hanela mi'emenu. Rabbi Yonah seems, if I understand it correctly, to place this regulation, this rule, this revolution that we're learning about, under the category of tzedek. Tzedek means that it somehow is justice. You and I would have said, that's not justice. You give a person rewards when they don't deserve it. No, that's a nice gift. Maybe it's Nana de Chisufa, for anyone who remembers that shiur that we had. You know, the bread of humiliation. But that's not tzedek. Tzedek means you get what you deserve, because you did it. You know, an action generates merits and rewards. No, this is tzedek. And what is tzedek? What are the laws of justice? What do they demand? Number one, that he'll get schus, he'll get rewarded for niglos elav, that which he knows about, and also for everything that's nelamin of that he doesn't know about. V'akre zos yom yom yidrosh v'yishkar al dalsos mochicha v'yaskil mikom alamdo. From the moment that he accepts upon himself this fantastic Kabbalah that's so sincere, from that moment and on, every day he should seek out and, you know, consistently and without a cessation, knocking down the doors of those who can inspire him and guide him and give him tochacha, and anyone whose knowledge he can soap up, he won't fail to take advantage of any such opportunity. Because he's being rewarded by the Ribbono Shel Olam for his mice and the mice that he didn't do, and his chachma is very limited, he doesn't know, he's called mice of Merubim Echachmasa. But also, I have to tell you, I would read this Mishnah a million times and never come up with this interpretation. No way. It's not even in my, it's not in my league. You know, sometimes, oh, you know, if I worked long enough, maybe I would have thought of it myself. But in this case, Kilo Yodas Adavar, he doesn't know enough for his maisim to be rewarded, but yet it's maisim meruba. Hinei scharo ito olav, he'll be rewarded. Where did Rav Chanina ben Dosan, where did he derive it from Matan Torah? Hikdimu kabolas amaisal nafsham lifnei hashmiya. They accepted. There was a commitment. There was a kabbalah. They didn't know. They didn't hear. They didn't have the knowledge. And if not for this breakthrough, this new idea, it would be impossible to even imagine, to entertain the idea that the maisim of a person could be greater than what he knows, than his knowledge. Now, we don't have too much time, but I want to see if we can perhaps chop around a little bit, you know, in the last few minutes. Maybe we could just... It says in Parshas Bo Vayelchu Vayasu Liten Schar LaHalicho Schar LaAsiya. The Mechilta says that when it says Vayelchu Vayasu, they went and they did, it means that they get rewarded for the halicha, for the going, the effort, as they do for the asiya, for the implementation, for the actual maisa. Vayasu Chayim V'chikvar Asu. Now, why should they get the same amount of reward, asks the Mechilta, for the Vayasu, for the Vayelchu, as they do for the Vayasu? It doesn't seem to make any sense. The Vayelchu is in anticipation, but prior to the implementation of the action. So why would they get rewarded for that anticipation? Ella, but the answer is, Kishekiblu Aleim Lasos, well, here's the Chaf HaDimyon, is Milo Lov Ki'ilu Oso Kasher Tzivashem. So the Vayelchu indicates this Kabbalah that he accepted upon himself, and therefore it's as if he had implemented the mitzvah. Now, if you look at the Tosus Yontif, who's one in the Achronim period of time, meaning, let's say, from the 15th century and on, 16th century and on, he's one of the greats. His name was Yontif Lippenheller, and he writes that Merubin, when it says Merubin, Hainu Kodmin, so Merubin means that even before he knows about these mitzvahs, he's already got these mitzvahs under his belt. He'll be rewarded for it. You can't say that the Merubim here refers to the Meisim themselves. He can't possibly implement these Meisim Merubim if he doesn't know. It's interesting how he bases himself on Rabbi Yonah. He doesn't even bother quoting Rabbi Yonah, because as I said, Rabbi Yonah was the number one Mefarish, the number one commentary on Mishnayos almost for centuries. Wow. He points out, and this is something we didn't see explicitly, but we sensed it, that he will be rewarded for things that he'll never get a chance to learn. Meaning, learning and implementing is endless. It's infinite. There's no person who could say he learned it all, and he knows it all. But now he's getting schar through this Kabbalah, even for things that he'll never learn. Lefichach tnan merubin. That's the significance of the word merubin. Shekivein lashmienu zos shakadima hi akabola vakabola hi kimeruba meruba mihachochma. Okay, that's more or less what we said before. Let's just see if we can finish this up with Rav Yaakov Emden, who writes a book called The Lechem Shemaim, also as a commentary on Avos.
He had a story about Rabbi Yonah. Do you want to tell us the story? Or
later? Yeah, I'll just maybe just see if I can finish this Lechem Shamayim. And he says, just one second, He says, Nimtu Chachma Ba'uma Ba'umos. There's knowledge and science in the nations of the world. And he says, Chachmasa Meruba Mimaseyem Umiskayem. He says, I don't understand. I have a contradiction to the principle of the Mishnah. We see that the scientists and the philosophers of the nations of the world have more knowledge than they have action, and yet they seem to be holding on to their action, their knowledge. They're not forgetting things, you know. They don't have amnesia, you know. They have now in the medical field that every so often the doctors have to take a refresher exam, you know. They have to repeat it, but it's chachmasim is kayemis. He says niravadai. He says for sure that when our Mishnah discusses chachma, lo mi chachma sheula. Your question is based on a different concept of chokhmah, not our concept of chokhmah. And he says the following, let's just see if I can quickly fast forward. He says, for example, we have a Gemara in Kiddushin with regarding to the chokhmah that we're talking about, that HaKadosh Baruch is Metzarif Machshava Tovah L'Maaseh, that God considers it as if you did something because you planned and schemed to do it. And Kein Hadra Kush L'Duchto Havi L'Lemeim Kol Shemaisav Kodmin V'yim Eino Nechshav L'Masa Ech Yitachein Lomar Shemaisav Meruven Halo Befoal Ein Kan Masim Elo Machshava Shein Lo Din Masa V'yitzor Shiyomar Shemaisav Meruven Chochmosa Avadai Ein Kol Archovas L'Shono Bekan Elo Divi Avai. Okay, so this Lechem Shamayim is a critique on the Tosfos Yontif. And it all comes down to this Gemara in Kiddushin, that the Gemara says, is a person planned to do a mitzvah, he was prevented from implementing it through circumstances beyond his control, he was held back, is my love akos kilu aso. And the Gemara in Kiddushin is analyzed here by the Pachad Yitzchak, Rav Hutner, and he says, person was prevented from doing a mitzvah, he'll get reward as if he did it. Rabbi Yonah is going a lot further than the principle that's formulated here in Kiddushin. Hayadu'ala, a person knows that this is exactly the mitzvah he can pinpoint that he wants to fulfill, and he was prevented from doing so through some mitigating circumstance. You know, he was about to get to the shul, and he had to cross the bridge, and the bridge collapsed. But the ilu b'dvar shor ben yonah nichlal gam kabola shemakabel olav chovos bilti misuyonah. You know, this general all-inclusive Kabbalah. He accepts upon himself everything, the kit and caboodle. Not just one mitzvah. Okay, if he's prevented from one mitzvah, let's give him schar for that mitzvah. But now we're saying that all the mitzvahs and all the schar for all the mitzvahs are included and generated by that one Kabbalah. Shadayin lo nisbar lo in yonim klal. And he still doesn't understand. He's never been taught those mitzvahs. And yet they're included in this general Kabbalah. And therefore he'll be rewarded even for those, because he was never able to get around to learn about them. No one taught him. And therefore, he's like an onus. Now, the rest of what I prepared for tonight is the Abarbanel. I don't know if we can honestly... Let's see what time it is. I think it's about 8:30, right? I don't know if we can honestly do justice... What are you saying?
I have 8:35.
To do justice to the Abarbanel at 8:35, when we finish officially at 8:30... That would be very hard to do, although there is a way of doing it retroactively.
As long as we want to do it, even if we actually don't do it, it's
correct.
Okay,
correct. So I'll just tell you a story that I once heard. There was a city back in Lithuania before Hitler called Kelm. And there was a Kelmer Magid. The Kelmer Magid was a great Talmud of the Muslim movement of Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. And the Kelmer Magid once had a dream. And in this dream, Rabbeinu Yonah himself came to Kelm. Now keep in mind, when the Kelma Magid was dreaming, he didn't know he was dreaming. In his mind, in his conscious mind, this was happening in front of his eyes. And first he reads the signs all over Kelm. They posted signs that Rabbeinu Yonah is coming, it's the Chodesh Elul, and he's going to help us prepare for Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And they get closer and closer to the date, and there's an amazing amount of anticipation and excitement in the air. Now the Kelmer was probably the greatest Jew in the city of Kelm, and everybody loved him. There's a lot of stories about, you know, when the Nazis destroyed Kelm and the Pasha, the Mesiras Nefesh of the Jews and the Kiddush Hashem, it's beyond belief. But anyway, that's a different parasha. So the Kelma Magid comes to the door. People have already been waiting for hours, you know, to take their seats, and they came early and all. And there's a certain shomer, I don't know how you'd call it in English, you know, he's the guard at the gate, and he decides who goes in and who doesn't go in. And the Kelma Magid looks and he sees that the whole city of Kelm is there. And the shomer, this guard, won't let the Kelma Magid in. And the Kelma Magid is beside himself. I mean, how could he not go in? He wants to hear Rabbeinu Yonah more than anybody. And the shomer says, no, I can't let you. And then the Kelmer notices his son in the audience. He's already been let in. And they make eye contact. And when the Kelma Magid's son sees that the shomer doesn't want to let the Kelma Magid in, he runs. And he says, do you not know who this is? And he pleads with him until finally he... Now at this point, the Kelma Magid wakes up from his dream. And it's the middle of the night, but he can't contain himself. And he runs to the house of his son. And his son doesn't know what's going on, because he didn't know that Rabbeinu Yonah was in Kelma. And he starts drilling him. What happened in the last period of time that you must have done something that was absolutely great? Meaning that they let you in, but they wouldn't let me in. So the Kelma Magid's son said to his father, I didn't do anything special. I did whatever I do on any particular day. You know, I wake up and I get up early, I go to Davin and I this, that. You know, he goes through his whole schedule of the day, nothing unusual. So the Kelma Magid says, no. Think hard. Is there something that you did that was very, very unique, that was very special? So it dawns on the son. He says, look, the only thing I could tell you, Dad, but I don't think it was such a great big deal, is that I had bought a new pair of shoes after decades of wearing the same rags, shoes that were completely ripped, because I don't know if you fellas know the poverty in Lithuania was unbelievable in Lithuania. And just as I was about to throw out my shoes, my old shoes, and wear the new shoes, I got a knock on my door. And in comes a poor person who not only does he need a pair of shoes, he doesn't have shoes on his feet. His feet are covered with bags of paper and whatever he can find, you know, plastics. We call them sakiyot, like this thing here, the sakiyot. And that's what he walks around. I gave him my shoes. So the Kelma Magid said, now I understand what schus you have. And he said to him that every time that Ani wears those shoes, you get an amazing credit. Now, to wear a shoe in Hebrew is called Ne'ilas HaSandal. The word Ne'ila. The word Ne'ila means closing something or fastening something. We relate to the word Ne'ila as the last prayer on Yom HaKippur. And when we get up to Davin Ne'ilah, we really ask Hashem to remember that ani and what a Jew is capable of doing, that every ne'ilas ha-sandal, that this ani ties on the shoe, somebody who did that chesed, it's amazing. And that's what we ask Hashem, to please forgive us and let us come in, you know, before the gates close down. Give us entry. The Kelmer Magid was almost left out, but at the end they let him in. And why? Because of the schus that his son did that chesed, and that ani was able to be noel as hasan. And the interesting thing is that when we approach Yom HaKippur, we take off our shoes. And what we're really saying to Hashem is, I would take off the shoes from my feet for the benefit of another Jew. And if that's what it means, that's what we mean on Yom Kippur, then we're all like Malachi Asharis. We're really on the level of angels. So Mirtz Hashem, we should be Zocha to see the Geula Shlema, you know, the ultimate redemption. We should be Zocha to do these tremendous mitzvos. And those mitzvahs that we can't do because we don't know about them, we haven't learned enough, there's a world of mitzvahs out there, infinite. Hashem should understand that we are committed to them and give us schar, Mirtz Hashem, reward us as if we had fulfilled those mitzvahs.
Sure.